You're listening to the Body Pros podcast coverage of IAS 2009, the 5th International AIDS Society Conference on HIV Pathogenesis, Treatment, and Prevention. The conference took place in Cape Town, South Africa, from July 19th through July 22nd, 2009.
Before I get to the content of my presentation today, I'd like to start off by drawing everyone's attention to the bottom line, because everything that you're going to hear at this conference or that you have already heard over the next few days comes down to one thing, and that is money. So before I get into it, I'm going to ask the tech to put in the video. Audio? Rubbing on that Italian leather and concrete jeans on. Hey, yo, Weezy, you ready? Yeah. I'm chill. Get it until the sunrise. Hey. Doing 90 and a 65. Hey. Just roll down screaming now. Right now we're standing in a sinkhole with regards to HIV and TB treatment in the region. And we're standing in a sinkhole and making presentations and doing data and carrying out research studies. And all of that is very important. But the fact remains that right now, particularly in the African region where our work focuses, there is no money to provide even the most basic interventions for HIV and TB. You've probably all seen the World Bank and UNAIDS report that was recently issued warning that in the next 12 months, more than 60% of the people who are currently on treatment may see that access threatened. Right now in the region, we've already started seeing some pretty severe cutbacks. Tanzania cut its HIV budget by 25% a few months ago. Botswana, which is one of the model poster children for ART in the continent, has warned that its treatment program is not sustainable and that beyond 2016 it will no longer be able to enroll new people in treatment. Not that HIV is going to stop growing, but apparently there's no money to fund the treatment for it. Swaziland's new national strategic plan has reduced universal access targets from 60% 2011 to 50% for 2011. Uganda is turning away patients from facilities because there's no drugs. These are patients with CD4 counts of under 200. So while we welcome initiatives to up the initiation threshold, the fact is that we're still failing to meet the needs for half of the people at the current thresholds of 200 in the region. And this is why I say that unless we address the bottom line, which is money, all the other talk that we hear at conferences like this really has no point. Zambia has had the aid cut from two major funders, including the main funder of the national TB program, the Dutch, because of $2 million that went missing from the Ministry of Health. Mozambique has received no money at all from the Global Fund this year. So we hear there's no money for health. Arasa went on a little retrospective treasure hunt because we know that there is some money out there. So in case you're wondering what this stack of dollar bills is, which you're welcome to help yourself to afterwards, it's some comparisons of where the money in our world and in our continent is really going. You've seen some of the figures in this video. We have Robert Mugabe's birthday party, $250,000, equivalent to 10,000 TB treatment courses. We have the annual cost of corruption in the African continent, $148 billion, equivalent to 1 year's ART for 704 million people. We have private jets for the president of Uganda where patients are being turned away from health facilities because there are no drugs. 48 million, goodbye. More than 200,000 people treatment for 1 year. We have Obama, not because we don't love him, because we all still do, but the fact is that he has essentially flatlined AIDS funding for the next few years, while spending more than $700 trillion on bailing out banks, a fraction, less than 1% of which could have been used to close the funding gap. We also have some ghosts from nightmares past, George Bush and Dick Cheney, just to illustrate that what we are seeing right now is not merely the result of the economic crisis, because we're going to keep hearing that health is at risk because of the economic crisis, which limits funds. But this situation has been going on for a very long time. Money has been diverted to other priorities, while health has been consistently neglected. So the economic crisis may be the catalyst that's going to aggravate the situation, but the real challenge is the underlying long-standing moral crisis that has failed to prioritize health over many years. But to my point for the day, which was the legal and human rights challenges to scaling up access to testing and treatment, this is one of them, because if the right to health is not granted in our legislative frameworks and our constitutions, then we don't have any framework for holding governments accountable. And this is something that needs to be pushed both by donors who are giving money to countries, because when this money is mismanaged and civil society doesn't have access to records of the way that finances are being spent, it is impossible for us to work to hold our governments accountable. Additionally, some of the barriers that we see in legislation to scaling up treatment include the entrenchment of stigma and discrimination in law. ARASA does a biennial report that does a survey of human rights and HIV norms across the SADC region. And in the SADC region, 9 of the 14 countries criminalize same-sex relationships. So a particularly high-risk group is effectively barred from accessing prevention services and treatment services because of this. We see the same thing for sex workers. We see it for drug users. In addition to that, we also find that there is popular endorsement of stigma and discrimination by leading influential figures. Some of us may have seen the Swaziland Member of Parliament who called for HIV-positive people to be branded on their buttocks. We may have seen the recent furor over the Rwandan government's proposed reproductive health bill, which had initially proposed compulsory HIV testing for all people about to enter into marriage. And the fact is that we may have all these theoretical discussions, and we may have all this knowledge, we may have it at research levels, we may have it in conference rooms, we may even have it at policy levels in countries. But until we do some serious work and invest money and time on creating human rights sensitization, including sensitization on the right to health and the imperative of governments to fund this right, then everything else we're doing is essentially self-defeating. So please do attend the special session on human rights at 1 o'clock, where I'll be speaking further about this topic of how human rights are so critical to success against HIV.
The opinions expressed by hosts or interviewees in this podcast do not constitute professional advice, should not be considered substitutes for professional services, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of Body Health Resources Corporation or its sponsors. Please see the full disclaimer online at thebodypro.com. If you have comments or questions, please contact us.
Thank you for listening to this report from IAS 2009. For more coverage of this conference, please visit us online at thebodypro.com/IAS2009.